1920 with New Holland equipment, parts, and hometown service you can count on.
In the news at this hour, Walmart Incorporated, in care of Walmart Real Estate Business Trust, has filed an objection to the real estate property assessment for its Richland Center location at 2401 U.S. Highway 14 East, challenging the current assessment of $12,858,600. In its filing, the company submitted an opinion of value of $5,440,000 for the property. Walmart, represented by Mallory S.C. of Milwaukee, has requested a waiver of the upcoming Board of Review hearing, asking to have the matter taken directly to Circuit Court. Should the waiver request be denied, the company has asked for the right to provide testimony via telephone. The Richland Center Board of Review is scheduled to meet tonight at 6 p.m. at the City Municipal Building. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt has filed an amended federal complaint in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, expanding his ongoing defamation lawsuit regarding claims that he and the Dodge County Sheriff's Office unlawfully detained an Illinois woman earlier this year. The amended filing incorporates significant new evidence, including surveillance footage, hotel records, and telephone logs, which directly contradict claims made by Sundas Nakvi, who alleged she was detained at the Dodge County Jail. The new evidence also reveals extensive communication between Nakvi and her sister, Sarah Afzal, who has now been named as an additional defendant in the lawsuit. The complaint further alleges a conspiracy involving Nakvi, Afzal, and Cook County Commissioner Kevin Morrison, who was a candidate for U.S. Congress at the time, asserting that they coordinated to disseminate false information to harm Sheriff Schmidt's reputation. Records cited in the filing document multiple phone calls between Nakvi and Commissioner Morrison during the precise period he publicly claimed to have lost contact with her while she was allegedly in custody. Sheriff Schmidt maintains that this lawsuit is a necessary step to hold those who knowingly spread false allegations accountable and to establish an accurate factual record, emphasizing that his office remains committed to transparency and that the evidence confirms Nakvi was never detained at the Dodge County facility. Senator Ron Johnson, chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has formally requested transcribed interviews with several former officials from the Food and Drug Administration and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The list includes several former FDA officials, as well as former NIAID director, Dr. Anthony Fauci. These requests center on their involvement in the federal government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, specifically regarding the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines. This action follows an interim report released by Chairman Johnson on April 29th, which alleged that senior FDA officials ignored warnings about the agency's vaccine safety monitoring system, suggesting it may have concealed safety signals. Chairman Johnson explicitly expressed a hope for transparency and cooperation from these individuals regarding their knowledge of these matters. During a recent hearing before the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, Chairman Johnson questioned Dr. Fauci on vaccine safety. However, Dr. Fauci declined to answer, citing his Fifth Amendment rights. In a subsequent letter to Dr. Fauci, Chairman Johnson stated he is offering another opportunity for transparency regarding the pandemic response, covering areas such as early treatments and the development, deployment, and monitoring of COVID-19 vaccines. In a proactive move to fortify the integrity of American democracy ahead of the 2026 midterms, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, alongside several Democratic and independent colleagues, has introduced the Stop Harassment and Intimidations in Elections Through Legal Defenses, or SHIELD, Our Elections Act. This comprehensive piece of legislation is designed to create robust defenses against unlawful election interference and ensure that every American can cast their vote securely and without fear of intimidation. The core purpose of the SHIELD Our Elections Act is to provide voters and state attorneys general with the legal standing necessary to combat interference as it happens. By establishing a private right of action, the bill empowers individuals and state officials to sue when federal entities or others attempt to unlawfully meddle at polling locations. This mechanism serves as a critical check against any administration that might seek to use federal authority to influence or disrupt the local administration of elections. Furthermore, the legislation addresses the long-term accountability of election-related offenses by significantly extending the statute of limitations for key federal election crimes from 5 to 9 years. This extension ensures that individuals who participate in voter intimidation or interference by armed forces can be held responsible by future administrations, preventing bad actors from simply waiting out the clock on their legal liability. This provision underscores the principle that attempts to undermine the democratic process will have lasting legal consequences. The act also contains vital protections for the physical security of the vote. It implements strict limitations on the seizure of ballots and election equipment by law enforcement, requiring that such materials remain in the joint custody of court-authorized election officials until an election's outcome is officially finalized. To further modernize and secure the voting process, the bill authorizes a voluntary grant program to help states implement advanced mail and absentee ballot tracking, providing voters with increased confidence that their ballots are being handled with the highest standards of security and transparency. The Richland Chorus, an open community choir comprising approximately 45 local members, is excited to invite the public to a free concert Saturday, August 15th at 6 p.m., held at the Richland Center Free Methodist Church. This event promises to be a heartwarming celebration of music and community spirit. Attendees can look forward to a diverse program featuring patriotic songs, recognizable favorites, and a variety of other beautiful musical selections. A particular highlight of the evening will be a special duet performed by local choir directors, adding a unique touch to the festivities. Designed to bring a smile to every face, the performance is open to everyone as a way to celebrate the collective gift of singing. Governor Tony Evers, in partnership with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, has announced that 101 communities will receive nearly $30 million to repair or replace aging culverts and small bridges through the newly created Local Small Structures Improvement Program. This initiative, funded by the 2025-27 biennial budget, is part of a larger $150 million investment that includes the successful Agricultural Roads Improvement Program created by Governor Evers in 2023. These projects are vital for the safe and efficient transport of agricultural and forestry products across 64 of Wisconsin's 72 counties. Governor Evers emphasized that repairing local infrastructure is essential for safe, reliable roads, and stated that these investments directly help communities that were previously overlooked. The program was developed following an extensive assessment of over 16,500 small structures. Significant funding is being distributed across various regions, with the Southwest region receiving over $9 million. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke L. Rollins has introduced a significant initiative designed to bring veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses into mission-critical roles at the USDA. This effort is focused on protecting the nation's food supply and strengthening agricultural security by tapping into the leadership and technical expertise of military-affiliated talent. The strategy comprises two primary pillars. The department is expanding its partnership with the U.S. Department of War's SkillBridge program, which provides active duty service members the opportunity to gain civilian work experience in high-demand fields such as cybersecurity, data analysis, and forest management during their final 180 days of service. Simultaneously, the new 100 Hires in 100 Days initiative streamlines the recruitment process for veterans and military spouses by utilizing established hiring authorities to fill essential positions quickly. Secretary Rollins noted that agricultural security is intrinsically linked to national security. The unique operational experience and discipline of service members and their spouses will play a vital role in safeguarding critical infrastructure and supporting farmers and ranchers across the country. Interested applicants are encouraged to visit the USDA website to explore these new pathways and career opportunities as the department continues its commitment to those who have served the nation. The lead veterinarian at a Dane County beagle breeding facility will never again be allowed to practice in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Veterinary Examining Board votes to permanently revoke Richard Van Domelen's license for engaging in, quote, unprofessional conduct. The board cites numerous occasions where Van Domelen delegated surgeries on the beagles at Ridgeland Farms to persons without veterinarian licenses or training. That includes eye surgeries, focal cord removals, and dental extractions. Many surgeries at the facility were also performed without anesthesia. Ridgeland Farms was the site of protests and arrests earlier this year, and some protesters have been charged. Hundreds of dogs were removed and adopted, and the facility is scheduled to permanently close by the end of August. As the new school year approaches, the Kiwanis Club is once again preparing to support area students in need through its annual backpack and school supply giveaway program. To participate in this initiative, families are invited to attend one of the upcoming sign-up sessions held at the Richland Center Community Center. Registration will take place Sunday, August 1st from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and again Wednesday, August 5th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Following the registration period, supplies will be distributed to those who have signed up at a later date, ensuring local students are well equipped for their return to the classroom. John Clare stopped by our studios with an update on local turkey hunting and the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Real soon, on August 28th, which is a Friday, the NWTF, National Wild Turkey Federation, is going to be having an event at the Phoenix Center. It's kind of a banquet, a couple of games of bingo involved as well. It helps us to raise funds for doing projects, and the NWTF has done some purchases of public land for hunting in the area, and they also have maintained some public lands here in Richland County with the money that's raised. If you are interested in attending that, you may find information on the NWTF website.
Let me ask you a question, surprise you with one on the turkeys around here. My wife and I went out for a UTV ride on Sunday, and we went out past the fairgrounds up Cooper Hill and out Hustler's Ridge by Sunset Orchard. There were turkeys everywhere.
Yes, the population has really done well in the last couple of years. And if you're a real avid turkey hunter, you know that Wisconsin has some of the best turkey hunting in the country. And the populations have not done as well in other parts of the country, out west and even in the southeast. The turkey populations are facing some tough times, but here in Wisconsin, we're doing really well.
I actually got a phone call, John, about 10 days ago from an old friend from my hunting industry days, who's Alex Rutledge from Missouri, who's a very well-known turkey hunter.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wanting to know where he could hunt birds in Richland County.
Okay. There's plenty of places. We have a lot of public land, and for out-of-state people, they generally have to hunt the later seasons. We have six different seasons, and usually most of the landowners and their friends are done hunting, so they'll be able to find some private land as well.
Headline reads, Twin Bluffs, once the site of a woolen mill. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to MPL.org digital collection, the Richland County History Room, ID number 12535. It appeared in the Richland Observer on January 4th, 1979, in Section 1 on page 12. Jacob Brimmer came to Wisconsin in the spring of 1850 by means of a covered wagon. The Brimmer family at that time consisted of the mother, Elizabeth, her maiden name, Nay McManus Brimmer, and Benjamin Franklin Brimmer, and then John McManus came along. He stayed as it was because he helped drive the cows there. They crossed the Wisconsin River on a ferry at Law's Landing, now called Riverview, near Bogus Bluff. They first stopped at the Big Spring on Ash Creek and stayed there for a few months. Then they came on, entered the farm that they now own in Richland County. Jacob Brimmer cleared the land, built a two-story frame home on the hill south of the Pine Valley Manor. He lived there for 10 years. Then he traded his farm for that of Jacob Crosscup, who had one on Ash Creek near Twin Bluffs. That was also a carding mill and sawmill. A carding mill? Carding is the textile industry. It's a mechanical process that disentangles and cleans raw fibers like cotton and wool to align them in a continuous, untwisted strand called a sliver. After moving to the farm, he managed the woolen mill and sawmills for a few years, and then he made hay loaders. A large dam was built across Ash Creek so that the woolen mill could be run there. So what is a woolen mill, you ask? Well, a woolen mill is a specialized factory that transforms raw sheep fleece or animal fibers into yarn and fabric. Jacob Brimmer studied medicine. He went on to become a doctor in Richland County for several years. He would ride horseback through the wilderness to care for his patients. He also was the Richland County treasurer in 1854. He had to carry money from Madison on horseback to Richland County. For about 10 years, beginning in 1873, he owned a drugstore in Richland Center, which he managed with his son John, and his other son Benjamin became a doctor. They had their office in that very same drugstore. Jacob drove back and forth with his horse and buggy from farm to Richland Center and back. After the Brimmers arrived in Richland County, they had three more children. An advertisement about the Brimmers Woolen Mill in Twin Bluffs appears in that very same newspaper article. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering Frank's Hill.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
Thank you, Ken Thede. A decade after producers organized the Tainter Creek Watershed Council, a new study led by Lexi Wellman of UW-Madison reveals that efforts to increase managed grazing adoption resulted in a 14% reduction in phosphorus concentrations in the creek. Wellman's research highlights the vital role of producer-led groups in advancing land use changes that support both agricultural viability and water quality. Between 2019 and 2022, the Tainter Creek Farmer-led Water Quality Project distributed $173,000 to producers to implement conservation practices across 98 hectares. By converting annual cropping systems to managed grazing, the project aimed to reduce surface water phosphorus, a significant concern in driftless stream systems. Wellman notes that focusing conservation investment on transitioning agricultural land to perennial grazing provides a higher return on efforts compared to incremental management practices. The community can learn more about these findings at the Coon Creek Community Watershed Council's upcoming general meeting, August 5th at 6 p.m. The event will be held at the Munch Farm, located at S995 Bagstad Lane in Coon Valley. Attendees will hear from Wellman and producer leaders who helped develop the economic analysis tools used in the Tainter Creek project. The Coon Creek Community Watershed Council is also offering cost share opportunities for managed grazing adoption to producers in the Coon Creek, West Fork Kickapoo, and Little La Crosse watersheds. Interested producers can find more information on their website. The cycling community is gearing up for the 2026 USA Cycling Gravel National Championships. Explore La Crosse reports this is set to take place in La Crescent, Minnesota, September 12th. This premier event will offer three distinct course lengths of 107, 68, and 31 miles, catering to a wide range of skill levels and competitive drive. As one of the most anticipated dates on the cycling calendar, it will draw a diverse field of athletes, including elite, amateur, junior, and para cycling competitors. to the unique and challenging topography of the Driftless region. The 2026 race routes and schedules have been carefully updated following a comprehensive review of the 2025 event. These refinements focus on highlighting the region's classic climbing terrain and scenic vistas while actively reducing the overall impact on the local community. Furthermore, the event continues its successful partnership with local landowners to utilize private property for certain segments of the course, ensuring a truly unique racing experience that cannot be found elsewhere. This collaborative approach underscores the strong regional support for the championship. More information is available at explorelacrosse.com. The 2026 Wisconsin State Fair is set to celebrate a historic 175-year tradition, anticipating over 1 million visitors during its 11-day event, August 6th through the 16th. Held at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis, the fair continues its mission to celebrate agriculture and local industries through family-friendly educational experiences. The Bank 5-9 main stage will host an exciting lineup of performers throughout the fair. The schedule kicks off with Hairball performing an 80s rock tribute on August 6th. Winona Judd and Melissa Etheridge will appear August 9th at the 2026 Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis. On October 3rd, the Hillside Theater will host a compelling lecture titled Frank Lloyd Wright and the Driftless Area, scheduled from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. This event invites attendees to delve into the profound connection between the unique Driftless Area landscape of Southwest Wisconsin and the architectural vision of Frank Lloyd Wright. The evening will be led by Kurt Main, a distinguished presenter representing the Aldo Leopold Foundation and the Center for Humans and Nature. The lecture aims to uncover the lessons Wright's relationship with the land holds for modern environmental stewardship and community resilience. This presentation is a significant component of a broader series organized by Taliesin Preservation and the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, specifically designed to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States while examining Wright's influential ideas on society and the built environment.